This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up on this weekend edition, a Gallup poll out this week shows that dissatisfaction with government remains a top issue for Americans. But in the wake of recent events in the Middle East with ISIS, the concern over terrorism is rising. General Jerry Boykin will join me to discuss the president's weak response this week to the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians by ISIS. And Texas Congressman Lamar Smith, a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, will join me to discuss how Congress is responding to the growing threat of ISIS. Also, the Obama administration received a major setback this week to their unilateral move to facilitate illegal immigration. A federal judge in Texas said the president had exceeded his authority. Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert, a former judge himself, joins me to break down the decision and what it means for the lawlessness of this administration. That's coming up on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's guest and our topics. You can also sign up for my daily update right there on the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, United States District Judge Andrew Hanen sent a message to the Obama administration earlier this week saying the lawlessness stops here. The president's illegal amnesty on the immigration front was a continuation of his blatant disregard for the law. Now, in his memorandum on the case, the judge stated that no law gave the administration the power to give 4.3 million removable aliens what the Department of Homeland Security itself labeled as legal presence. Now, the judge has temporarily blocked the action by the president as it makes its way through the court system. The judge was simply responding to a lawsuit by 26 Republican states against this executive action. Joining me now with the latest is the Republican representative from the 1st Congressional District of Texas, our good friend, Congressman Louis Gohmert. Louis sits on the House Judiciary Committee and has also served as a district judge in Smith County, Texas himself. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always good to talk to you, Tony.
Well, Louis, tell us what this decision by a federal judge there in Texas, a former classmate of yours, what does this mean for the president's unilateral action on immigration?
Well, it had to stop, and this was a temporary injunction saying just that. So it did. I really appreciated Judge Hanen's thoroughness when I heard that it was a 123-page opinion even before I read it. I had a feeling I knew what the judge was doing, having done it myself. When you know that an order of yours is probably going up very quickly on appeal, then I know there are times that I didn't want to trust people guessing my reasoning on a short order. And so I would spell it out completely. Here's what I was thinking, step by step, so that nobody has to guess. And so he lays out the facts very properly and points out something a lot of people didn't realize. This is not one of those cases, Tony, where the president issued an executive order, and the judge points that out. He said, regardless of the fact the executive branch has made public statements to the contrary, there are no executive orders or other presidential proclamations or communiques that exist regarding this expansion of amnesty. This is something that the president said. We want this to happen. And basically, like any good monarch, he spoke it, and in essence, so shall it be. And then the head of Homeland Security, Secretary Johnson, issued a memo, changed many different laws, including the prior existing immigration law and the 2005 Real ID Act. And the judge uses the Real ID Act as one of the basis for saying, of course, Texas, at least Texas, has standing because every state under the Real ID Act has to pay fees to the federal government for each driver's license that it processes. And so Texas is going to be out millions of dollars furnish that they have to pay the federal government to provide these driver's licenses in addition to the millions of dollars it's going to cost them. Now, one of the purposes of the Real ID Act was to make sure, for one thing, that states didn't give identification cards, driver's license to people who were not legally in the country. And if a state was continued giving licenses to people who were not legally in the country, then that state's driver's license would not be allowed to be used to get on an airplane or any transportation in interstate commerce. So this memo, by not even the president, but by the Secretary of Homeland Security, overrode all of that law that was passed by the House, amended, debated, passed by the Senate, and signed into law. They just do a memo and override important legislation.
So, Congressman Gohmert, this is about more than just immigration. I mean, at the heart of this issue is whether or not we will have an executive branch that is governed by the rule of law.
Exactly. And the judge points out that back in, it says that by virtue of one DHS directive, especially when the yearly average of deferred action grants prior to DACA was less than 1,000, it's pointing out they took this from less than 1,000 where there was deferred action to millions. It's just phenomenal. The cost in actual money as well as the cost to the rule of law. It is just unbelievable. There's a whole lot at stake here. And if we are not going to have the protected status of Congress being the only entity that can legislate, and specifically on immigration, as the judge points out, under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, only Congress can legislate with regard to immigration. If we're not going to protect the Constitution, then the Constitution basically doesn't exist for any legitimate purposes. We're just basically moving toward anarchy.
Congressman, we're about out of time, up against a break, but I want to ask you this question. With this judge's decision staying this implementation, does this give Congress time to act to prevent the president from moving forward?
Well, it does, but the trouble is there are senators who are Democrats who don't want to debate the funding of the Homeland Security that the House has already passed. So there's time now. All the Senate Democrats have to do is stop holding up the debate of the legislation in the Senate. Let's have this debate. Let them try to defend what the president's doing with this illegal amnesty that the judge has properly held as unconstitutional. Let's have that debate. Let's let them get out there on the Senate floor and debate it, and then we get the funding done for the Department of Homeland Security, which the House has already passed.
Well, hopefully this gives Congress time to act to preempt the president from unilaterally putting this into place. Congressman Louis Gohmert, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right. That's our good friend, Congressman Louis Gohmert, 1st Congressional District of the Lone Star State. To find out more about Louis, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I know you've heard him many times here on Washington Watch. Often he's actually filled in for me from time to time. But he's a great member of Congress, great friend of mine, and a great friend of the family. Again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. All right. When we come back, still to come, General Jerry Boykin joins us to talk about the president's response to the beheading of 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt in Libya. How did the administration respond? Was it strong enough? We'll talk about that. Also, still to come, Congressman Lamar Smith of Texas talks about how Congress may respond to the growing threat of ISIS. That's here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Will you marry me? It's a popular question this time of year, and at FRC, we love to celebrate marriage. But while the Bible teaches that God made marriage as a covenant between one man and one woman for life, our culture pushes us to delay, redefine, or dismantle marriage through divorce. As Christians, we need to safeguard, protect, and celebrate God's good gift. To think more about marriage, visit frc.org/marriage and family. That's frc.org/marriage and family.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me again remind you, the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. And if you miss a part, go back and you can catch it later. Also, on that site, archives from our daily program, which you can hear every day, members of Congress, other newsmakers, right there on the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, this week, we were reminded once again about how evil the Islamic terrorist group ISIS really is. And I'm sure you've heard by now about the 21 Coptic Christians from Egypt that were beheaded earlier this week in Libya. I was on Fox News's Megyn Kelly, the Kelly File, earlier in the week to talk about this and the administration's response or lack thereof. In fact, you can see that. It's on the website. We've got that clip on the website. Now, this is a group that continues to take lives, and all the White House does is continue to push the narrative that Islam is a religion of peace. They want to separate Islam from this terrorism. Just this week, the State Department spokesman Marie Harf said that lack of job opportunities is tied to why ISIS continues to grow. That's insane. Folks, this is about an ideology that is wrapped in their religion, and if we don't stop it soon, these killings will only continue and spread. Joining me now with an expert analysis on a proper military strategy for dealing with ISIS is FRC's Executive Vice President and a founding member of the Army's Delta Force, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you.
So ISIS is the result of not having proper economic opportunities.
You know, there are two things that have happened recently that should be probably the most embarrassing things that have occurred in this administration. One was the unceremonious evacuation of our embassy in Yemen, and the other one was that statement by this woman that is just absolutely clueless. She lives in a parallel universe that she doesn't understand what you just said. This is a 1,400-year theology, and they've been doing this for that long.
They fail to understand. These guys are just playing out their eschatology. They are marching according to the orders of the Quran, and they see themselves as grand players in this end time drama. And nothing, no conversation, no economic opportunities is going to change their minds.
No, Tony, it is important for everyone to understand that the theology of Islam, whether you are Sunni or Shia, is the ultimate establishment of a caliphate, a superstate. That superstate would then usher in the reign of the Messiah, or in the case of the Sunnis, the Mahdi. That's what they are working to achieve. Now, if you go back in history and you look historically, they've established what they consider to be caliphates at least three times, the last one being the Ottoman Empire. And they've been defeated all three times, and that's largely because the European armies were strong enough, and certainly in the case of the last two caliphates, to defeat them. But their ultimate objective is still, it remains today, to establish that caliphate, and in the process of doing so, they will kill or subjugate infidels, anyone who will not submit to the authority of Allah and convert and become a Muslim is subject to either being killed or subjugated. And that's what Ms. Harf has no clue or understanding about. And that statement was just, if I may say, stupid.
So, General, how do we stop ISIS?
Tony, it's not just a matter of stopping ISIS. It is a matter of stopping the global network. ISIS is only one component of this global network. You begin by acknowledging who they are and why they fight and what motivates them. You begin by saying that they are, in fact, Islamic jihadists. The second thing you do is you then engage all elements of national power, as well as the elements of national power of our coalition partners. That includes an information campaign. That includes reaching out to those Muslims that reject Sharia and jihad. You see, the only elements that we've actually reached out to as a nation, this administration, have been the radical elements. It's the organizations like the Council of American Islamic Relations and the Islamic Society of North America. We haven't reached out to the Muslims in America or around the world that reject Sharia, and there are many. The majority don't want anything to do with that. And then we find out who our trusted partners are, and we do all we can, like in the case of ISIS, to support the Kurds. I don't think we should be supporting a government in Iraq that is under the domination of Iran. We should be supporting the Kurds. We should be fighting alongside them, giving them the equipment that they need. They can strike a lethal blow against ISIS if we'll just help them.
So, General, here's my final question for you. Is the policies, are the policies of this administration actually enabling the spread of radical Islam?
Absolutely. You see, one of the things you have to look at is the recruiting to the jihadist cause. And when an American president, the most powerful leader in the world, consistently, repeatedly, refuses to acknowledge what motivates them, refuses to acknowledge that they are doing this in the name of Allah, under the banner of Islam, it encourages recruiting to the cause because the propaganda from ISIS and all the other elements of the terror network is saying that we are winning. You see, even the American president doesn't recognize. He won't even acknowledge us. And it recruits more and more of these young jihadists who want to go and die in the cause of Allah. That's why at the other day at Al-Asad Air Base, you had about 25 suicide bombers that attacked the air base there in Iraq, where we have 350 Marines. And almost all of them, based on the reports that we're getting, were foreign fighters, people that had come in specifically to die in the cause of Allah.
Mm. General Jerry Boykin, thank you for joining us this weekend.
Thank you, Tony.
General Jerry Boykin, Executive Vice President here at FRC, and also retired Lieutenant General, founding member of Delta Force. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, still to come, when we return, Congressman Lamar Smith of Texas joins me to talk about what Congress may be doing to ramp up against this threat from ISIS. That's here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We were told Obamacare wouldn't fund abortions, but now we know that the president's health care plan uses taxpayer dollars to fund abortions on demand. In fact, some states are abortion-only states, which means pro-life families there have no choice but to choose plans that cover abortions. No one should be forced to help end human life. To find out more about health insurance plans in your state, visit our website at ObamacareAbortion.org.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council. If you've ever received a letter from me or heard our Washington Watch radio program, you know that I always like to close with an encouraging reminder from the Apostle Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes the armor that is provided by God to the followers of Jesus Christ. In that passage, Paul calls each of us into action by ordering us to stand our ground. Ephesians 6:13 reads like this, "Therefore put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Well, you can take a stand. You can stand with us by going to TonyPerkins.com to receive more information on how you can order one of FRC's new Stand t-shirts. Now you can wear your commitment to stand for God's truth and in the process, encourage others to do the same. To order your Stand t-shirt today, go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the Stand t-shirt graphic for more information. And together, we'll stand. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Let me encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about the topics and the guests we've had on this weekend. Well, many in Congress are wondering when this administration is going to get serious about the Islamic threat to America. Now, we just discussed with General Boykin the evils of their actions, and those killing are just this weekend alone. What we saw with the Egyptian Christians, and this is continuing to spread. Now, if America continues to be inactive, this threat is only going to continue. Joining me now with the latest from Congress to combat this threat is a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, the representative from the 21st Congressional District of Texas, Congressman Lamar Smith. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, good to be with you always and with your listeners as well. And frankly, thank you for all you're doing for our country, and thank you for all you're doing to educate voters about the issues going on in D.C. Now, as to your question, what we have by this administration is a policy of passivity. It's a policy of indecisiveness, which I think is intentional, by the way. And it's a policy that invites our opponents, whether they be ISIS, the Islamic State, or others, to keep testing when we will finally draw a line in the sand. And unfortunately, we have an administration that is not willing to make any of our opponents, any of our enemies, pay any kind of a price at all. And as a result, you pick the country, whether it's Iraq, Syria, Russia, or anywhere else, the world is a more dangerous place today because of the Obama administration's foreign policy than it was, say, 2 years or 4 years ago. So we're going the exact opposite direction. And as far as the authority that we in Congress might give the president, he hasn't answered the basic questions yet. He hasn't told us what his goal is. He hasn't told us how he defines success. He hasn't defined or told us how he's going to use American troops or how long they will be used or when they might come home. There's no end game. There's no beginning game. And until the president starts providing answers to some of these questions, it's awfully hard to take seriously what he proposes.
Well, Congressman, I mean, he right now has authority to do a lot that he has failed to use. And it causes me just to basically leaves me scratching my head when we see the Jordanian King Abdullah, we see the Egyptian President al-Sisi responding in a more direct and authoritative way to these attacks of ISIS than our own president.
Yep. That is true. Other countries seem to be doing more, taking it more seriously. We have the atrocities that are being committed, whether it's the beheadings, whether it's the burnings, whether it's the mutilations, whether it's the torture. And it seems like all the president is doing is having, as he did a couple of days ago, a conference in D.C. to talk about extremist actions. And he's not even willing to call the enemy out by name. If you aren't willing to identify the enemy or identify the opposition or the threat to our country or other countries, it's awfully hard to defeat them. And we have the president's own words, he was going to degrade and destroy. Well, I don't see any evidence of degrading, and I don't see certainly any evidence of destroying ISIS. Other countries are moving better than we are, and we certainly ought to get other countries engaged without any doubt. But we just cannot sit around and do nothing. All it does is embolden our enemies, and sooner or later, and I don't like to predict bad things happening, but it would not surprise me if you didn't see more American citizens subject to some of these killings when they see America doing nothing to try to stop them.
When you look at the polling data and you Americans, the concerns that are growing that they have for this threat from ISIS and terrorism, and this has been a dormant issue for some time. They've been more focused on the economy, more focused on dissatisfaction with government, but it's rising. Americans are afraid because they've not seen definitive leadership from this administration.
And you're absolutely right. You've got two-thirds of the American people that think we ought to be doing more to confront and destroy ISIS. You've got two-thirds of the American people thinking, I think probably domestically, the country's going in the wrong direction. And when you have that high of a percentage of Americans who disagree with the president, who think we ought to be doing more, one might hope that he'd be a little bit more responsive and a little bit more assertive in, frankly, trying to assert American power and provide weapons to individuals who are our allies, for example, or take actions to stop the atrocities that are occurring, or support other nations that are doing more than we are. But the president is doing none of these things. And I think, I don't think it's indecisiveness, but it's also a close cousin to indecisiveness, which is he's decided, in effect, that America is not exceptional, that we don't have a role to play in the world, and that he's not going to be concerned about it. And I think this is actually
a greater danger to our country than almost anything else, because it just encourages our opponents, and it frankly demoralizes our allies, and that is, again, a dangerous combination.
I think you are absolutely correct, Congressman. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your insights and for consistently standing for the things that obviously we care about here at the Family Research Council, but that all Americans care about, faith, family, and freedom. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
All right, Congressman Lamar Smith of the 21st Congressional District of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. A few comments here. We're almost out of time. I want to thank you for joining us for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. But this issue of what's happening to Christians in places far away is an issue that we as Christians here in America should be concerned about. We have the means and the ability to speak out on their behalf, and we should. I want to encourage you to support those ministries that are helping the persecuted church, that are providing relief and support to them. But we also need to speak out to our government, that they be a voice for the voiceless. Historically, America has been a voice for religious minorities, Christians and others across the world, around the world. And so we need to be speaking out. Our administration needs to speak up with clarity. I'll tell you, I'm disturbed by this president. His response, refusing to even acknowledge, even though the ISIS video made very clear that these 21 Christians from Egypt who were killed on the sands of Libya, that they were killed because they were people of the cross. They were Christians. And the president couldn't bring himself to say that. This president is, I don't know, he's continually deferential to Islam and dismissive of Christianity. I know what he claims. I know what he professes. But his actions speak very loud on these issues. Well, folks, I want to thank you for joining us and being a part of the weekend edition of Washington Watch. We're out of time for this weekend, but let me leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you have done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, when you have taken your stand right where you are, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.